This is the Rock and Roll Autopsy Podcast.
You want to cut it?
Let's do it. In 3, 2, 1, give me a couple seconds of space.
Hey now, my name is Scott.
My name is Rico. Welcome to RNRA.
So like Valentine's Day was a few days ago, and it's like a time of year, I guess, when people who have sex lives do the bump and grind. I would have no idea.
I have no idea what that even is anymore.
But
I mean, if you're talking about something that involves my hand, then then I might be able to have a conversation about it.
It's funny because like when you're a young man, you know, like 6 years old,
you got an early start there, buddy.
You first start playing with yourself
at
you know?
Six.
Yeah, I mean,
that's kind of early, isn't it,
dude? You're playing with yourself your whole life, but it's the first time ever you realize that it's you know, like special things happen. Like these little tingles, and then eventually the tingles become like...
I feel like I'm in an episode of Barney right now. Special things happen with the little tingle.
Barney episode from hell. Where did Barney touch you?
Maybe we ought to rethink this episode.
But you know, dude, like...
No, I know.
When you've... You know, you just don't realize, though, at the time when you first as a kid are playing with your dick that that's going to be something you're going to do your whole fucking life.
That's true.
And you get to be like, I mean, I'm old as dirt right now. And I'm still, every once in a while, I'm like, I think I'll play with myself. It's like, and then I think to myself, seriously, I'm still doing this?
Like, at what age does playing with yourself become less of a sexual function and just a way to pass time?
Oh, that happens pretty early on. Or just a way to relieve stress. You're like, it's been a stressful fucking day. And if I just
rub one out.
Yeah, it'll just give me that flush of like hormones that like clear my head for a minute.
Yeah.
And then I like, you know, you're at the grocery store and you see some like elderly dude with his knickers hiked up to his tits pushing a cart, and he's got like an oxygen tank in the front, and he's got like just a cart full of like applesauce and cream corn, and you're like, is that dude still rubbing it out? Like in his
he might be trying. I mean, he's probably giving it a good go. I mean, you got to give him an A for effort, right? Probably. I don't know if he's getting anything out of it, but
is he? Is that so? Is that going to be me? Am I going to be that old fuck still grabbing my
just like
shriveled up Johnson
and nothing's
gray
happening
pubic hair and just working it? So
very possible.
Like I got a confession to make, man. If I haven't already confessed to too much too soon in this episode,
this is the TMI episode.
Riveting content, dear listener. All right,
One will be really popular, I can tell already.
Let me lay this out for you real quick. I'm going to try, okay?
All right, ready, go.
Right. I was called the middle of the railroad tracks.
You sound just like him.
Now, for two things.
Yeah.
I'm not belting it out because my kids are sleeping upstairs, but if I belted it out, I could probably get there. But
no, you did pretty well, actually.
I always thought that he sounded like, remember the Muppets?
Yeah.
You remember Gonzo?
Yes.
I always thought he sounded like Gonzo
in
that song from the Muppets.
Just like a yellier version of Gonzo.
He had an amazing voice on Back in Black and in the 70s with Geordie. He had all this range to his voice. And man, it is so shot. By the time they get to singing Thunderstruck in 1991,
his voice box is shredded.
It's shredded. And it's,
yeah, it's done.
Wow, it's cut.
You know, and it's funny because, like, we've talked about this so many times about they're, I think we both agree they're much better with Bon Scott, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
And, but when he first came on with the Back in Black album, just like you said, like every time I'm like, okay, it's a train wreck. But then I think back of when he first joined the band and he still had somewhat of a voice.
Oh, he had an incredible voice.
It wasn't bad for a minute.
Yeah, he blew it out by 83. It was gone.
But when he blew it out, then it was just not good anymore.
There's nothing left.
It was toast.
His voice was so good that he was making a living back then. Doing commercials.
Yeah.
There's a great Hoover vacuum commercial.
Oh, the Hoover vacuum commercial is awesome.
So, dude, Thunderstruck.
Yeah.
I've been hearing this song since 91.
It was the theme song from our arena football team, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's been, dude, if you go to any sporting event at some point, you're playing Thunderstruck.
You'll hear it a million times.
But I've heard the words for like years and I never really gave two shits about them. Like, I thought they were nonsensical. I'm like, none of this makes any sense. I'm caught in railroad tracks and then I was girls in Texas and I'm like, what the fuck is he talking about? And I thought, who cares? It rocks. Who gives a shit? So I come across this article on the, can I ask you a question?
Ask away.
You ever heard of the internet? What the fuck is the internet? I run across this article.
Do you catch fish with it? Internet?
It's an inner tube. I run across this article on the inner tube and it's saying songs. What's it called? It's from Music Feeds and it says 11 AC/DC songs you probably didn't realize are actually about sex.
Well, and then the first thing that crossed my mind when I read that article was like only 11. Like, aren't they all about sex?
But this is where it was. I didn't know what Thunderstruck was about.
Me either.
I didn't think it was about anything. I thought Thunderstruck sounds, as a word, sounds cool. It's on brand for the band.
It's a good rocky thing, that, like rock and roll-y type of thing to shout out.
And I
thought
that was literally all they based the song around.
Yeah.
It's a cool chant thing. It's on brand for the band. And we'll just work the verse lyrics around some bullshit.
Au contraire, mon frère.
Well, thank you. According to this article on the fucking internet,
written by Emmy Mack, September 13th of 2015.
Dude, it claims that Thunderstruck is about banging standing up.
I was shaking at the knees. Could I come again, please?
They call it in the article a humble ode to the horizontal hokey pokey. Let me ask you a question then. So the first line that I sang in my Brian Johnson impression.
Yeah.
Now it's cold.
Mm-hmm.
So are the railroad tracks then her legs around his waist as he's standing up? And those
version of the line.
I was caught in the middle of the railroad tracks. Thunder.
Yeah, that's the.
I looked around and I knew there was no turning back.
Yeah, he's in between the girl's legs.
Yeah.
Precisely what that means.
I was like yesterday years old when I found that out. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that.
Well, I mean, it makes sense now.
Now.
But. You just don't think about it at
Rico,
the time.
Now we've got some real poetry happening here.
Well, for sure.
Painting a picture.
Like, you know how hard it is to write that many songs about sex and not actually come out and say it and have each one of them sound different than the others and make sense?
Right. And at some point it took them from...
And then you can confuse it for something else. That's actually not easy to do if you think about it.
It's not. And it took them from like 73 to 1991 when Thunderstruck came out to get around to simply doing it horizontal.
So, yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea. And now I have a brand new appreciation for the song because he's saying, I was shaking at the knees.
I was shaking at the knees. Could I come again, please?
Right? So it's like,
makes total sense now.
His knees are wobbly because he's holding this broad up, you know, to get the railroad tracks.
And he's about to blow his wad.
Yes. So now I'm thinking... Wow, this is some fine lyrical craftsmanship going on here that I simply went over my head for decades.
Like, this shit puts Keats to shame, dude. Like, big time, okay? So the next one that they have on here is actually a song I like a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And did you know, hold on, are you ready to go on to the next one?
Yeah, I'm just still, you know, pondering the horizontal hokey pokey.
The horizontal hokey pokey. Like, I've never heard it referred to as the horizontal bop. Okay, everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
But the horizontal hokey pokey is pretty creative, I have to say.
It is, yeah. Or as I like to refer to it, just beating off standing up.
Essentially.
No railroad tracks involved at all.
Why beat around the bush?
Another song.
Yeah, point. We'll get to that one, actually. All right. So this next one, I actually am a big fan of this song. It's got such a groovy, bluesy, cool kind of vibe thing going on. Did you know what the jack was before you read about this?
Well, I did. Yeah, the jack I was privy to.
I did
yeah.
not.
Yeah, the gonorrhea, the ode to
the Australian slang version of gonorrhea.
Yeah, I knew that one. Yeah.
I didn't know.
What do they say about it?
They say it's Bon Scott wrote the lyrics. She's got the jack. It's about a really dirty girl who's got gonorrhea. In fact, this video, this is a live show. Which one is it?
Oh, I think this is probably
River something or other.
Yeah, maybe it's a River Plate. The cool thing
about this video is super easy to find, but Angus is actually like midway through the song is doing a striptease.
Is that what they do it during the jack now? Yeah. Throughout the career.
Well, at least this performance, yeah. He does the striptease to the
jack. Well, he's done the striptease now, and it's really... Look, River Plate, he was well into his 60s River by the time Plate, he did the right. River Plate tour. Yeah. So I wish he wasn't still doing the striptease.
Yeah, but it's cool when he does it because it's funny. Well, and he's totally owning it and it's awesome. And then he's got the Union Jack undies on.
Yeah, he's done the striptease as a part of their show going back to the 70s. Now, in the early Bon Scott days, they would do it during a track called The Bad Boy Boogie.
Yeah.
Which is totally rad. One of the best live records ever is 78 AC/DC, If You Want Blood, You Got It. In there, they've got the Bad Boy Boogie, and you can hear the long extended breakdown because you're just listening. You don't get to see the striptease.
Right.
But you can pull up the video on YouTube to watch it. But it's just even just listening to it. Awesome. And then years later, he would do it during Jailbreak and with Brian Johnson. Yeah. And then now I guess he's doing it during the jack. The jack works. It's a bluesy song.
It's great during the jack.
Easily get a long break in there and have him take his.
Plus, it's a great song for all, like the article says, it's a great song for girls in the audience to show their boobies. It's a perfect song for that. Yes. So, but I love the cool groovy bluesiness of this song. It's a great song.
It's fun. Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah, there's actually two different lyrics for it. On the original High Voltage album, Bond's got a set of lyrics that are all about card playing with double meanings, and then live, they just strip all the double entendres out and just sing a really dirty version with a totally different set of lyrics live that are just really straightforward and no humor at all. Just, just gross. And they go for it. But anyway.
So what's the next one?
Oh, so they've got Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. And let's see. So among the dirty deeds detailed by frontman Bon Scott, in this 1976 musical list of discount criminal for hire services, male prostitution, and surrogate anal sex figure as items 2 and 3 on the menu.
Hi-o. Wow.
Hey now.
That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
Christ.
I like the Whole Lotta Rosie song off of Let There Be Rock as a classic, and I always knew what this one was about.
Based on a true story.
Well, this one thing about the Bon Scott era is his lyrics are just about his life.
Yeah.
So he just literally writes about all his songs. He just writes about his encounters on the road and what he did.
Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, Scott, would you like to tell the story?
Let's see. So the author says, there's no delicate way to put this. Whole Lotta Rosie is about a fat woman Bon Scott fucked backstage in the 1970s.
And the lyrics are,
ain't no fairy story, ain't no skin and bones, but you give it all you got, weighing it at 19 stone.
19 stone. How much is 19 stone?
I don't know. It's got to be a Brit thing, right?
I don't know. Can I look at a 19 stone
converter on the iPhone?
19 stone to pounds. Let's just see how much that is and if it's realistic. 19 stone and pounds is what? 266 pounds. So I guess that's really not out of the realm, right? If he wrote a song about her, then maybe she weighed 266 pounds.
Well, even today they do the giant blow up Rosie on stage.
That's right. And she's riding a big freight train, right?
Yeah, they do the big... Right. Nothing PC at all going on in an AC/DC show.
No.
What's the next track that you mentioned?
So a song about Brian Johnson's throbbing erection called The Stiff Upper Lip. Pretty straightforward. I warn you, ladies, I shoot from the hip. I was born with a stiff upper lip.
And I remember when this record came out, Angus said, well, it was actually, you know, they're... Yes, stiff upper lip, upper lip. But also the Elvis Presley idea of always having the one.
That snarl.
Yeah.
Being like cool and kind of angsty. And
the Elvis thing. Yeah, the lip always curled up.
Upper lip, kind of snarly thing.
Yeah, so it was always like those two ideas working simultaneously of the stiff upper lip.
Apparently, though, it really was about Brian Johnson's tool.
Is Johnson his real last name or just a stage Brian name?
That's his porn name, Brian Johnson. Brian name. Johnson's Johnson.
God. Oh, goodness. What else is on this
Gosh,
list?
Scott, pray tell, what could Heatseeker be about?
I have no idea.
I am really in the dark on this one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you can assist.
Let's see. Well, the first paragraph does a nice job. It says, for those of you who don't know, a heat seeker is a type... Can I read this? A heat seeker...
Yeah, there's no turning... You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, Scott. Right. You just roll with it.
All right. For those of you who don't know, a heat seeker is a type of missile programmed to find a warm target and a blow on it. All right. Yeah, boy.
This article was written by a female. I really got to respect that.
Yeah,
like that.
I do. Yeah, she's not holding back. Do we have to read the lyrics?
Can I? I really want to.
I would love
Get your head down and blow. You got to keep that woman firing. You got to keep that serpent clean. You got to keep that serpent clean once again. You got to make her sound the siren. You got to hear that lady scream.
Just the first line is so direct.
What do you think that veiled meaning behind that is, Scott? Get your head down and blow. What do you think they're really trying to say there? Let's break this down.
I don't know. I just wish they'd be more on the nose with their lyrics. I'm tired of all this kind of
dancing around.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to be so artsy. I mean, just say it. Get to the
point. Say what you want to say. Jesus Christ.
Touch too much.
Yep. It says it's a musical tribute to Bow Chicka Wow Wow at its most mind-blowing, complete with a troubling metaphor about cooked meat. And I quote,
God,
she wanted it hard. These are some really complex lyrics. Wanted it fast. She liked it done medium rare.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm not sure.
You know,
I mean, if I think about a hard tool... being cooked medium rare. Like, I think they mean like hot baby. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
No, I really don't know what you mean when you talk about a dick being medium rare.
I don't know what
trying Bond to figure
is,
that out.
What he's getting at on this one. I just don't know.
She wanted it hard. Okay, that's, I suppose, fairly straightforward.
Yes.
Wanted it fast. She liked it done medium. It doesn't even rhyme. It doesn't rhyme with any of the other lyrics, though.
A troubling metaphor about cooked meat.
About cooked meat. Okay.
All right. Livewire.
Yep.
I don't really know about this. Seems like a little bit of a reach. Is this really like a hot rod baby? Oh, stick this in your fuse box. Is that really?
Yeah, that's, yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
All right.
How can it not be?
I love the next song. It's the closing track on side one of Highway to Hell. Back when
Beating
Around the Bush.
The riff in the beginning of the song is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a rad song.
I love it.
Oh, unfolds the tale of a deceptive lass with something of an unmowed pubic hedge.
Otherwise known as Winterbush.
Who breaks the singer's heart by getting some sweet oral satisfaction off some fella.
Off another fella.
Off another fella, yeah.
So some girl with Winterbush gets some oral from another guy.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Girls Got Rhythm is the next one. And I'm amazed that they only wrote 11 songs about sex. I'm stunned on that.
Well, these are ones you didn't know. Right. So apparently someone listened to Beating Around the Bush.
The other 200 of them, you already know about those. From its squeaky clean, radio-friendly title, you'd be forgiven for thinking this grooving tune from the Highway to Hell album is about a lady with some killer dance moves. You would think that, right? But no, au contraire, once again. But the rhythm that our titular female protagonist possesses, some good alliteration there,
yeah,
actually refers to her skills at riding the express train to Bonertown, is the way this is written. I didn't make that up. The express train to Bonertown, ladies and gentlemen. God. Specifically in the backseat of Bon Scott's car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Hey, before we go on, I have to take an aside to talk about, this is just a quick talk about the shoes that I'm wearing. I just got these shoes. They're Zero with an X. Zero shoes. I've been dabbling in the barefoot lifestyle, the barefoot shoe thing here for a little while. And I had another pair of barefoot shoes that I wore, and they were kind of okay. And I over-research everything. So I looked up so many videos and read so many articles about, you know, what kind of shoes are, you know, good barefoot shoes or minimalist shoes versus which ones aren't. And so I decided to go with the Zero Prio, which I'm actually wearing right now on my feet. I'm wearing the olive and black ones, and I'm not joking. These are probably one of the best purchases I've ever made. These shoes are freaking amazing. The toe box is super comfortable. You've got just like with the insole, it's 7 millimeters. So you get a nice ground feel and your foot's protected at the same time. It's got these really cool, reflective Huarache style straps that go across the uppers that just make the uppers feel so snug around your foot. Listen, these shoes are amazing. I want all you guys to try these. You're not going to regret it, but don't take my word for it. All I ask is that if you want to try a pair of these shoes out, and you'll love them. By the way, all the Zero shoes come with a 5,000-mile warranty on the soles, which is pretty incredible, actually. So all I ask is you use our link. It's again, Zero with an X. It's zeroshoes.com/go/RNRA affiliate. So it's zeroshoes.com/go/RNRA affiliate. Check these shoes out. We're going to post a link on our IG account. We'll get there. You know, we'll make sure that we make this as user friendly for you as possible, but don't take my word for it. Do your own research and you'll find that these shoes are amazing. Please check them out. I'm going to buy another pair as soon as humanly possible. That's how much I love these things. So anyway, Zero Shoes, please check them out. Anyway, so that's the 11 AC/DC songs that are secretly about sex, or maybe not so secretly.
I found this funny. There's this website called songmeanings.com.
Yep.
And they basically have, you know, all the bands on there. You look up their individual songs, and then they'll have like a discussion board where people can share their meanings. They'll have the lyrics and then a discussion board. For Beating Around the Bush, this guy, after a number of comments that don't quite hit the mark, this person pipes in and he says, "For fuck's sake, guys." And he was down upon his knees beating around the bush. It's about a messed up relationship, yes, but like a lot of AC/DC songs, that's a big, big double entendre. This one happens to be about, in all caps, eating pussy. And then he goes on, as if you don't get it after all caps, he goes on to say, "Or munching rug, munching carpet." What ever. And then he closes by saying, awesome song that fills me full of fire and makes me laugh at the same time. Oh, my God. Christ. So funny. So if you ever want to have a laugh, just go to the songmeetings.com and just read the comments on the AC/DC ones.
Oh, the posts, the post in the song meeting.
They're so funny.
They're hilarious.
Oh, my gosh. One of the songs that I was surprised they did not have on this list. Maybe it's because it's not. I mean, it's listen. this one's really obvious. But the song off of Back in Black, Giving the Dog a Bone.
Well, maybe. Well, again, the article was songs you didn't know were about sex.
Right, right. But maybe you're just giving your dog a bone.
I mean, for all the pet lovers out there, maybe. I mean, maybe Brian Johnson loved his pit bull.
On songmeanings.com, in the comment board, one person opines, originally an animal welfare campaign song promoting canine dental health.
That's hilarious.
And then another person comments, the lyrics to this song are very confusing. He's using weird metaphors, like she's using her head again. And oh, she's blowing me crazy till my ammunition is dry.
What does that have to do with my pet dog?
I've been analyzing this song for hours now, and I cannot figure out the meaning. It's probably about something deep, like war or life.
Like war or life. Jesus Christ.
And then this person says, she's blowing me crazy till my ammunition is dry. All caps. Wow. You really don't get subtlety with AC/DC, do you?
All right, so that brings me to my question here.
Yes.
I'm thinking through the entire encyclopedia of music in my brain, which isn't that big, but big enough, I suppose. Why is AC/DC so successful in writing about sex? How do they do it so much? And do you see what I'm getting at here? How do they do it so much and get away with it and people still love it?
And not be like canceled or something. Yeah. Or just, yeah. And
Why does it work for them? This is actually a serious question. Why does this work for them? Why do you think this works for them?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think that during the Bon Scott era, especially, he was... he wasn't punching down, you know. Oftentimes a song like Shot Down in Flames, you know, he's the loser guy who can't get a date and the girls are rejecting him, you know. I think he has a certain reverence for women. So I don't think, yes, I'm sure that, you know, you can say there are elements of misogyny at play in places, but there's also many instances in his songs where the roles are reversed and the women are the ones who have the power, you know. So... and I also think it's just always humor involved. I think there's always like, it's never done in like a mean spirited way.
Yeah.
There's always a humor involved in everything that they do.
Yeah. Because like when I listen to songs like, Love Gun or Dr. Love or Christine 16, for example,
yeah.
I don't get that same, fun tongue in cheek humor thing like we do with AC/DC. So maybe it's the tongue in cheek factor that's at play here. Plus the fact that, you know, I think, see if I can explain this the right way. I think part of it is the style of music that they play, that it's just basic rock blues. And I think if there's any style of music that you could get away with that with, it's that, because, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and it's fucking music because it's a danceable beat. You can right. tap your foot to it. So there's a throbbing, pulsating sound to the music.
Wow.
It's
very descriptive
music
there.
That can be on the dance floor.
Throbbing.
So, you know, it's get to the point, pulsating, beat. So,
songs that you would hear at a strip bar.
Yeah. So, all AC/DC songs. But
for sure.
Yeah. I just think that they pull it off. But I think later with the Brian Johnson era, I think that Bon was a better lyricist and could be more clever and funny.
Yeah.
Whereas Brian was a little, you know, he kind of lacked the ability to kind of do it subtly. And so his songs were a little too on the nose.
Didn't quite have the craftiness that Bon's got.
And I think his songs were a little too on the nose in places, which is where AC/DC, then you could like say, okay, now you've wandered from humor into like misogyny when it gets to
now
be
it's
a
creepy
song.
Yeah,
when
gross.
It gets to be like Sink the Pink, you know, that's one of their songs. It's like, there's no, you know, it's all gone, right? It's just super obvious and too on the nose.
Yeah.
And therefore it's, you know, even though we laughed though, you know, it's just, it lacks kind of the cleverness that Bon was able to have in his lyrics. So, all right. Well, that was fun. Anything else, sir?
Do you have like one or two non-AC/DC songs that are about sex that just are interesting to you for some reason?
Well, I think the Kiss you brought up, they've got the song on their first record. God, I always forget the name of it. I think it's Nothing to Lose, which is just about butt stuff.
Oh yeah, the kind of a bluesy rock.
Yeah, it's got a boogie to it.
The boogie, that's the word I'm looking for. It's got the kind of the boogie feel to it.
But I think to go out on your first record and be like, this is how we're coming out to the world. It's straight up
Guns N' Roses.
It's on side one of the first record, or like butt stuff right out of the gate.
Side A, Guns N' Roses.
Yep, so they've just laid it out to the world. Like, we're Kiss, we're here, first record, side A, it's like the third track or something. We're going right for butt stuff.
Like it or not.
To me, I'm like, okay, that's an all-hands-on-deck move right there, you know? And talk about, like, just making the, you know, saying they're here not to fuck around. What about you, man?
I've got, here's one that I thought was really interesting, actually, and funny backstory. When I was a kid, we lived in the town that I lived in. This guy who's a couple years older than me, and he always, I don't know where he got this from, but he always had this funny thing where he would make up his own words to songs, and maybe he heard them someplace or not, but the song Ticket to Ride by the Beatles, right? So we all know the real lyrics. She's got a ticket to ride. She's got a ticket to ride. Well, he used to sing, she's got a pickle to ride, big kosher dill with the bumps on the side. Clever, right?
Yeah.
But what I just found out was that there's sex reference in that song. Do you know what Ticket to Ride really means?
Well, I think I do now.
Well, you do. Well, back when the Beatles played the Red Star in Hamburg, that joint was kind of in a, to use my Brit friend at work's term, it was in kind of a dodgy neighborhood, and there were prostitutes all up and down the street, right? Well, at the time, if you were a prostitute in Germany, you had to have a card that said you were healthy enough to fuck. And John Lennon used to call that a ticket to ride.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so if you look at the lyrics, I think there's, if you go to song meanings and hear those, all those kooky threads about it,
right?
There's two main debates about this. It's either about a guy who gets a girl pregnant, and ride is actually this part of town in England where girls used to go to get abortions. And so he wants her to get an abortion, and it's about a guy who gets a girl pregnant, or it's about a prostitute who's got a ticket to ride.
Wow.
And so that song actually is really about sex, and who would have thought? It's off their first album.
I had no idea, man.
Yeah, Ticket to Ride.
Just like Kiss, they went right at the first record.
Like right out of the gate, man.
I wonder if the Beatles ever did a butt stuff song.
Interesting. That's a good question. Don't really know. So,
all right, man.
You got anything else? I'm good.
That's it. That's all I got. I'm good.
Man. Bonsoir.
Late.
Let me have that special rock and roll music. Yeah!
Let me tell you, so the lyrics to real rock music is nothing more than satanic cyanide. Get it out of your house, throw it out, and burn it. It has no place in the house of the righteous.
You guys, you stuck a mistake. There's no mystique anymore.
I'm gone. Follow us on Twitter at RNR Autopsy, or you can send an email to rockandrollautopsy@gmail.com. And if we run across anything good, we'll mention it in a future episode. Thanks for listening. Later.